difference between what it means to be good when you're trying to be epic. No, you don't gotta believe in me. Nothing can stop me. I already said it. I'm taking everything they stole from us. Yeah. You got your problems, I'm a whole nother. I'm giving people something to believe in. I'ma show them freedom like a bow cutter.
We gon' fight back.
Yeah. We breaking chains over here.
Yeah.
You can stay over there.
Stay.
Cause this is revolution mixed with execution. We insane over here. Yeah.
And welcome back, everyone, to It's Last Call. Last Call with the alcohol only on It Is Blue Wire Hustle Network. Now, join me on the line. This man here, well, he is now the proud papa, and he'll be celebrating this on March 20th when he gets in the octagon and, well, hopefully get some bonus money so his little one now, his son, can have some more toys and also some more stuff at the house. I give you once again the man who brings the pain himself. I give you, it's Max Griffin. So, Max, you're no longer just UFC fighter, model, husband. You're now husband, UFC fighter, model, slash dad. And what is that like now when you actually have this little bundle of joy and other stuff running around the house and you're going, oh, crap, this guy does not sleep and he likes to meme mug for the camera?
It's good, man. Yeah. This is my second son. I have a 9-year-old, but he's like a teenager, so that's a little bit different. But to have a new baby boy, you know, brings a lot more energy, man. Brings a lot more good vibes. My sleep is being tested, and I'm looking forward to fight week when I could sleep through the night all the way and, you know, in the hotel and whatnot. But it's good stuff, man. He's a good kid. It just makes my family stronger, and I'm all about family. So it's just going to give me more juice to handle business on the 20th.
So what is that like when you know that, because you had one son, he's, as you said, he's 9 years old. Now you have a second one. And this one, as you said, he got delivered last week and you were incredibly excited. You're posting pictures. What is that like when you're holding him in his arms? He's looking at you going, this is, you know, you are the best thing to him since like, you know, PB&J was crush cut off.
It's amazing, man. It really brings balance. Like, I'm, you know, ripping people's heads off all day. And then I come home and he just looks at me and we're chilling. And it's like time stops, man. And, you know, you need balance in this game. And it kind of forces you into it. You know, that it really shows you what's really important. And it's him, man.
How tough is it now, as you said, balancing all this? Because you're training for a fight. You now have two kids. You know, as you said, you have one son. Now you have this other one. And how do you balance it so that you have enough time for them, but yet you're still, you know, get, you know, preparing to fight, which itself is a full-time gig?
Yeah, I'm getting up earlier these days. No more sleeping in. I'm the snooze king, is what you know, my wife calls me. I'll sleep in long as I can, but now I'm up early so I can get my stuff done. Like I said, it's the balance is good. You know, it's forcing me to get up, forcing me to get more stuff done because I have to give them time. And it's making me a better person. So I'm a better person, gonna make me a better fighter, and it's gonna go full circle.
We're going to turn our attention to your fight coming up. And that's, once again, it'll be March 20th. It will be only on UFC fight night. So break it down for your opponent here, because it's you're not taking on somebody who, you know, is not much tape on him. What does he bring to the table? What does Ndong Song bring in terms of, let's say, your last three or four opponents?
You know, Song's good. Song's good. Honestly, you know, when I first got the fight, after my big win last time, I was expecting a bigger name, but hey, I have a couple more fights on my contract. After this contract, a big win, will be able to renegotiate for a fatty contract. So my manager kind of put it in perspective, like, hey, you can't fight Robbie Lawler on that money. Let's get you some more money so you can fight these top guys. And, let's do it. Yeah, I know, you know, Song Keenan Song. I don't know which is his first name last or his last name's first. I've seen it different, you know, but he's a Chinese guy, you know. He's all right. Pretty average everywhere. He has a good right hand. Tough. He'll bring the action. And that's a good thing, you know. He'll be there for me to hit. Yeah.
I was going to say, both you guys have a similar point in terms of you both faced Alex Morono. Both you guys lost that fight. Do you go back to that, Ben? Do you look at that tape and go, or you, does your team go back to that tape and go, okay, well, this is what Alex did to him. This is what Alex was able to exploit. This is what we can exploit. Or do you look and just go, oh,
screw Alex, you know, it didn't really beat me. I mean, he kicked me in the head, and that's all he did in those 15 minutes. He had 40 seconds to glory, but other than that, I whooped on Alex Morono. And this, and Alex Morono is not even a pressure fighter, and he was able to put the pressure on Song and piece him up. So I really don't look at that, but it does show me that the guy doesn't like pressure. If you're getting pressured by a guy who's not a pressure guy, you really don't like pressure. And I have some serious pressure, so I'm gonna bring it to him, man. I'm gonna bring it to him every which way, and get him out of there quick. And if he wants to stay in longer, that's on him. But he's still getting out of there pretty quick.
We'll go back to this fight in a bit. But first, take us back to the last fight. As I said, it was you versus Ramiz Brahimaj. As you know, how nice was it first getting the win after just loss after loss? It's one of those decision losses. Each one is just frustrating because you're going, I should have done this. I should have done that. Yeah, your loss is on a split decision. What the hell are the judges seeing? How nice was it getting that finally, you know, that win after, you know, an elbow caused him to go, yep, I can't do this anymore?
It felt good, man. Like I said, like you said, my losses are so fucking close, man. It's just, they're splits, you know, or they're the judges or, you know, from some other country. So for me to go in there and get the win before I even finished him, chopped his ear off, he was getting whooped on. He was flushed down the drain. He was so battered and beat down. He would have probably been finished about probably 30 seconds after that. But it felt good to put it all together. I actually had fun for the first time on purpose out there. And I chopped a man's ear off and went viral for it. So now it's like, hold on. I'm going to have fun with this guy and do even worse. So I'm confident. I'm ready. My training's so going so great. I'm firing on all cylinders. Then I got this little baby in the battery pack to even propel me more. So this guy's in serious trouble.
It's a weird fight, that fight, because it was the first fight you took since the pandemic. Everybody's alone. There's no crowd. There's no fans. What was that like when you can hear your corner? When they're shouting instructions, when you're getting, you know, you're almost that third eye, and you can literally hear them instead of, you know, them basically shouting, you think it's your gibberish because the entire crowd is screaming usually.
Yeah, it's usually so crazy, man. You're usually in the corner and it's, but this, I'm talking to you now, I'm talking to my coaches in the corner. I'm standing there, like, yeah, more volume. All right. It was such a different thing without the crowd. And I do miss the crowd, but I had my best performance without the crowd. So I don't mind no crowd. It's more martial arty. It's more mano a mano. You could, it's like being in the gym, you know, you could hear him wilt and you could hear him breathe and, oh, he didn't like that shot. You could see it and feel it. And, I'm going to use that to my advantage once again and be even more comfortable and rip this guy apart pretty much.
If you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we got it is Max Griffin here on the show. We're talking all things, of course, the birth of his new son. We're talking his upcoming fight against Kenan Song. We're talking all his last win here. Let's go. I want to get deeper here. How tough has it been for you just in general this past year? Because you're in California where it's been locked down and there's been a lot of stuff locked down. Restaurants, gyms, events. You're basically almost quarantined. You know, you have to wear masks 24/7. You have a governor who's basically made it illegal to work out. How tough was it for you sometimes just going to the gym, doing your work, and it's almost like, okay, we got hired from the popo. We got to hide up. Cops show up. Let's go, 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 go. It's like, you're just going to train and yet it's almost illegal.
Yeah, no, it was like that when it first started. We didn't know how long it was going to take, right? Like, they said 2 weeks, right? They said 2 weeks. So those first 2 weeks, I was at the house. I wasn't going out. I was kind of doing my Rocky kind of training at the house, running and hitting my bags in the garage. But it started going to the point like, hey, I'm going to fight in this time, and I can't just – like, I'm going to fight in this time, and I just can't have some governor tell me that I can't work out if my job needs me to work out. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, our gyms did open back up. We did it on the low, though. We were, like, we taped up all the shit, you know, taped up the windows. We were going in the back doors, parking the back, like, just make getting it in. And, you know, we had a small group, and we kept training, and haven't skipped a beat. We've actually had like better training because there's been less people around, and it's been real focused and shit since then, man. We've just been running. We've been, you know, the gyms are closed, but it's different for us. Like, I don't go to 24-hour fitness or anything like that. We go to private gyms where we could do whatever we want, and we're good. But I do feel sorry. I do feel sorry for the people that can work out, because there is a ton of stuff that is, you know, still locked down and whatnot. And I don't know when that's going to change, you know. But as far as us and my people, and I mean, we're doing the COVID test. Well, not COVID test, but we're doing the temperatures when we walk in. We're testing for symptoms. If anyone's sick or doesn't feel good at all, they don't get to come to the gym. So I really, you know, it worked out. It worked out for us.
I gave any fighter from Bellator, UFC, ONE FC who competed during this credit, because this, you guys are basically the guinea pigs. You know, every other athlete is staying at home. Oh, no, we can't work out quarantine. We got to be alone. You guys go, no, we got to go back to work. You know, 6 feet apart, social distancing. I'll screw that thing here. Yep, we're going to go in there. We're going to move out. How tough was it in the beginning, basically doing this, because it's not like other sports. It's not like football where we just do 7-on-7 drills, nobody touches, and everybody's basically outside and can't get it. Or basketball, same thing, 3-on-3, or, you know, passing drills, shooting drills, nobody touches each other. You guys had to be up close, and you were, you know, touching, you know, breathing, everything's going on.
Yeah, man.
How stressful was that when you guys were going, okay, how do we do this?
It was nerve-wracking at first, honestly, because, you know, when it first happened, I was worried. Like, I was scared of a virus. I mean, it's, you know, bullshit now, but I was nervous. And, I mean, we're doing jiu-jitsu. We're doing rear naked chokes. I mean, we're in each other's face. We're 1 feet apart, you know, breathing, spitting on each other, punching each other in the face, sweats in each other's mouths and stuff. It's funny, I was like the last one to go to the gym. Like, everyone was still training, and I was the one being careful. And so I came like a few weeks later, once I accepted that, hey, this isn't gonna end and I still need to train. So so I got back in it. It's funny, the first day I was in there, we're sitting on the mat, they're talking about, hey, everyone's gotta be safe and yada yada. I had the biggest like sneeze coming. And sneezes are different now. You know, back in the day, you sneeze, someone says bless you. You sneeze now, like, people look at you like you gave them COVID. So I was trying to hold this sneeze for like a minute. It was like coming on strong, and I ended up holding it in. But I didn't want to be the guy who's been gone the whole time and then came into the gym with the guys and was the first one to sneeze. So that was a funny story. It was funny to be there. But it's what it is now. I mean, you know, the death rates are so low. The stuff is so low. It's a lot of, you know, BS is happening with it. Misinformation, this and that. And, hopefully it's over soon, man.
Now, before we let you go, you got to tell us a story about Shaquille O'Neal, because you, as a California guy, probably grew up watching O'Neal. You finally got to meet the guy. And what was that like when, you know, he is this large human being who's just, you know, more bundle of joy, almost in Santa Claus. And you're going, holy crap, okay, I'm freaking out now. I'm freaking out. This is fanboy time. I get to freak out here a bit.
Dude, yeah. So I'm in Atlanta. I just beat, who did I fight? The Russian, Zaleem Mimadeyev, this hot prospect. It was on the Adesanya Gastelum card in the UFC 236, Poirier and Max Holloway. Crazy night. I beat this guy. I'm walking back, you know, got to do my interviews, and I see freaking Shaq, bro. Like, I love Shaq, like, for so long, dude. And he used to break all those backboards and on the Magic, like, huge Shaq fan. He's like a teenager. And to see him in the back, he's so big. I've never felt so small. Like, I felt like nothing. I feel like a little ant. But I was so freaking excited. I had some a cool picture with him. He's bigger than a refrigerator, and he's huge. His hand, like, wrapped around my hand. Man, it was an awesome moment, and I always remember that, man. Always remember that.
What is that like when you're next to a guy who's that big, Bo? Because you're a decent-sized guy. It's not like you're this small little fellow. I mean, you look at you're here, and it's, you know, you're 5'11". You walk around probably at about a good 200 pounds. And here's this guy who's basically 7'1", 350, and you feel like a small little child. Like, holy crap. He can pick me up and carry me around like a baby.
Yeah, his hand was like two of my hands side by side in one hand. It was a huge hand. I felt like nothing. Like, I don't think I've been around someone that big. I mean, I've been around people that are tall, but not that large. He has a large energy. He has big energy too, you know? That might play a role to be bigger. But he's a good dude, made me laugh. Good dude, man.
Well, very happy, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it all comes down to this Saturday. It's going to be UFC fight night. It's this man here against Kenan Song. I give you once again, man who proud papa. I give you, it's Max Griffin. Now, Max, before I let you go, where can the fans check you out at? The Twitter page, Instagram, the website. Where can fans hit you up at?
Man, hit me up on Instagram and Twitter, Max Payne Griffin. You could go to my store online. I got my website, maxpaynegriffin.com. I got my own CBD line, maxpaynecbd.com. I also have my merchandise, my hats, my shirts. We got some new stuff coming out. Just dropped some new stuff, and that's maxpaynestore.com. So hit me up. You know, I usually respond on social media. Everything's just buried. But I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you, Chris. Appreciate the love. And thank you to the Last Call Podcast.
It was always a pleasure to have you on the show. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we got Max Griffin here. We come back, though. It's Alejandro Lara and a whole lot more only on Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Back, everyone, to its Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Joining me on the line is young lady here. Well, she's back in the octagon, in the cage. She'll be fighting Kana Watanabe on Bellator 255, April 2nd. We're looking forward to it. And, well, as we had on the show before, she said this is going to be her march to the world title this year. I mean, once again, the pride and joy all the way training in Guadalajara, Mexico. I give you mm-hmm. Alejandro Lara. Alejandro, so it's you versus Kana Watanabe. Break it down for us here. You're fighting somebody who has a judo style. What does that entail? Like, when you and your team are breaking it down, what challenges does she bring?
Hi, Mrs. Thank you for having me, first of all. I'm very happy for entering finally once again in the cage. And I think this is a very good match because she's undefeated till now. And of course, we are working our game plan based on her style. Her obviously is her strength is the judo, and it's new for me. But actually, I fought with Juliana Velasquez. She have also that style, but I feel I'm very complete and I'm ready for this.
What makes judo so tough? I mean, for MMA fighters, and I've seen a lot of judokas come in and have success. What is it about judo that makes it a tough discipline to prepare for?
I think it's because it's very explosive and it breaks a little bit with the base that we are like used to when we do wrestling. It's like different, and they have most of all the very good base, so it's hard to take to the ground a person who's a very good judoka. But yeah, I think it's that.
When you look at her, and I'm looking at some highlights, how much do you have to change, or how much do you change the takedown so that you're not, you know, she can't toss you, but she can't throw you because either you're too high or you're coming in and she can just use her hips?
I think my key for this fight is to don't make some mistakes of create space for her, because it's what she wants. Her game plan is to take me close, to go to the clinch, and yeah, if I go with my hip back, she's gonna take it and take me to floor. So I'm expecting that. I'm working in the contra for those attacks, and yeah. I'm trying to don't go to her game. I know I can control. I have to control the distance and to don't let her close too much. And okay, that kind of thing.
How much do you think it will help you that there's no crowds? So it's, you know, you can hear your corner. Your corner, you know, can shout instructions. How much do you think that will help you, knowing that, you know, they can look for what she wants to do, but they can spot some, maybe something that she might try to do and warn you ahead of time?
Well, this is my first time with no crowd, and it's interesting. I feel it's very close. Like, you don't have the pressure of people yelling, and I actually like that part, but it doesn't matter. I always focus in what my corner is telling me, and it's not gonna be a difference. Also, they are Japanese, so we don't gonna understand each other, but it's good to focus on your work.
We're gonna go back to this fight in a bit. Take me back to just the last 6 months. How tough has it been for you, where training has changed because you can't work with certain people due to COVID? You can't fly, you know, to a lot of places because of COVID and having to be, you know, then all of a sudden quarantined for 14 days. How much has this been sort of an adjustment for you, a major adjustment?
I'm working in the basics, in the technique, in every area. Or I'm working with my team that it's very strong with the striking, with Pancho Grasso. Alexa Grasso just fought a few weeks ago, and she showed a lot how hard we're working with our technique, and that's the more important thing for me. Clear, very technique.
So, have you had any people not able to train with you because of COVID? Have you lost out on coaches or camps because of COVID?
Not actually. We here in Mexico, we were working like just the partners who were working for fights, like in very small groups in someone's house, and we never stopped training.
If you're just tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we have it is Alejandra Lara on the show. We're talking all things, of course, training. We're talking her fight at Bellator April 2nd against Kana Watanabe. Mm-hmm. So take me to this here. Right now, usually everybody has routine. They like to do certain things. Now with COVID and certain things taken away, what do you do for fun during training camp? What are some of the things you do to take your mind off of stress?
I actually don't used to go out so much or go to the disco. I don't know. My fun is about hanging out with my friends. But I mean, here in home, just reading, watching a movie. I'm very calm in that sense, and yeah, I am very happy. I have my friends together, and my best friend lives with me, and she helped me a lot with everything. Just we have a lot of fun together. I like to go in nature, and that's one of my favorite plans.
Now we can't talk Alejandra Lara unless mentioned dance. So do you miss the dancing? Do you miss being able to go out to a club or go someplace and just dance?
What's like, the question again? Sorry.
No, do you miss going out and dancing? Do you miss, because of COVID, do you miss going out to dancing clubs and just having fun dancing?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm always dancing, but in home, I don't need to go out to enjoy my dancing or things like that, you know? Actually, there's a lot of time, even before COVID, that I didn't used to go to those places. I just dance because I like to do it everywhere, any time, just for warming up, before training, things like that.
Now, I'm guessing you have a TikTok page?
No, actually, no. I have not started yet with that. I create one, but I just have enough with Instagram and yeah.
So I'm looking at your Instagram. How often do you just start going, you know what, I want to dance with the fans and just put little clips just to, you know, get people just, you know, happy about it?
Sometimes I feel like I don't have enough time to do all the things. I used to share some different things about what I'm reading, about what I'm learning of my, yeah, things like that. But yeah, sometimes I just go with the flow, you know, share what I have in mind and like that.
You've worked hard on learning not to speak not just Portuguese, but also English, Spanish, several other languages. How tough is it though sometimes, especially with the English language, learning the slang, you know, the what's up, how, you know, how's it hanging, stuff that, you know, there's several meanings to it, and you know, for most people they look and go, that makes no sense, what do you mean what's up, that does not make sense there.
Yeah, the hardest part for me is to express myself in English, and that's a long way since I start, like, just trying to say something, and people get wrong, and it's hard, really hard at the beginning, but I never stop trying, and it's about practice, and it's about not being afraid of mistake and to make mistakes talking, but you start correcting in the way. Also, I love to learn things by myself. I start learning Italian because I lived there like for a year, and it was amazing. It's more easy for me. It's easier because it's very similar to Spanish. But I dedicate a lot of time to learn in the morning, the night, and application in my phone, really, and listen music. I have never take like classes, not even of English. I just, in the in the process I'm learning.
Who's helped you the most with all of this in terms of, you know, learning the English language, learning the, you know, the slang so that you can, you know, communicate with teammates and you can express yourself?
Yeah, right now I feel that I'm reaching that level that I can express what I'm really thinking, but it's something that I start with just by myself. I have never had someone helping me with that. Not maybe in the school at the beginning, but it was very low level in that.
Give me something that you miss doing that, you know, in terms of pre-COVID. Like for a lot of people, it's small things like going out to breakfast, you know, going to the movies. Is there one thing you look and go, I really miss this. I didn't think I was going to miss it, but I miss it a lot now.
I say before that I don't used to go a lot dancing and that stuff, but I would love to go again to a salsa bar. I miss that, actually. Because, there's a lot of times with not doing that. And, I would love to do it.
That's going to be tough, though, because now people recognize you. So you'll go to a salsa bar, you'll try to dance, and you might have some people just go, oh, my God, it's Alejandra Lara, and they start freaking out. Next thing you know, they're selfies, they want autographs, and they start, you know, marriage proposals. It all goes downhill.
I don't know. I feel I don't have that problem yet. I'm not worried about that.
You're going to the wrong salsa bars then, because if you went to a bunch of salsa bars I know of, there would be like, you know, fanboys there just marking out. There'd be, you know, people want to get selfies and all that. Next thing you know, there'll be a marriage proposal somewhere.
Let's see, because I have never been in a salsa bar there in the United States, and I'm planning when we can again to go in New York, and let's see how it goes.
It all comes down once again to your fight. It's April 2nd. It's going to be on Showtime. You're on the main card. You're taking on a woman who, if you beat her, possible, you know, a title shot here. How happy are you that Bellator seems to have big plans for you, that you're somebody they're looking at going, she's part of our future. She's part of this division. We want to, you know, we have big things in store for her.
I think Bellator saw the potential in my fights. And also, I know when I start, I wasn't prepared. I had a lot of, I don't know, lack of experience in general. But right now, I know I'm ready for the big fights, for the top five, for being a champion. You know, it's what I have in my mind. And I'm taking the opportunities they are offering to me, and I'm very happy and very grateful with them. And every time you're gonna see a best fighter, a better fighter in each fight.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we are proud to have her back on the show. I give you, it is Alejandra Lara. Alejandra, before I let you go, where can fans contact you at? Where is the Twitter page, the Instagram, the website? Where can fans hit you up at?
Okay, my social media in general, it's Alejandra. Sorry, I'm slow because I'm trying to think in English, but I hope you get it. It's Aleja Zulara. It sounds different in English. I have to work on that. But my name, Alejandra, my nickname, Azul. You can find me with that.
I don't think anybody's going to mind. We will sit there and just listen to your accent for days, just going, that is a beautiful accent. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to have on the show Alejandra Lara. She'll be fighting April 2nd only on, it is Bellator on Showtime, Pitbull versus Sanchez for the semifinals. We come back, folks. We got a lot more going on here. Only on, it is Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol. Only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network. Back once again, only on Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network. And once again, I want to thank my wonderful guest, Max Griffin, joining the show. Congratulations to him on a new addition to his family. Well, when you're a father, you know how happy it is to get that new addition. Best of luck to him this Saturday, and also just in general with the birth of his new son. That's two of them now, and well, hopefully he can handle both of them, at least one of them. Also, we have a lovely and talented Alejandra Lara. Looking forward to seeing her in action once again. And she'll be taking on Kyoto Yamamoto only on Bellator 256. I'm looking forward to seeing that action as Lara is just moving up the rankings very quickly in Bellator. Usually, I do a weekend of the best fights. I want to do something different. And it's an ode to Marvin Hagler, who unfortunately left us too early. He passed away this weekend. I'm not going to get into, was it the virus? Was it COVID? Was it something with the vaccine? That's for a different story, a different day. As I said, that's a whole different ball of wax. What I want to get into is who he was. And in an era now where you have champions who defend their title maybe once or twice and then leave, he was the opposite. He defeated Alan Minter for the middleweight championship in a vicious assault in which he ended up basically forcing the referee to stop the bout. He was chased out of a ring afterwards as the British, well, did not take too kindly to that. And then ever since that, you know, he decided to defend the title against everybody and anybody who came up against him. And as a kid, I remember watching him, and it was just fascinating seeing him take on Roberto Duran, Mustafa Hamsho, Thomas Hearns. That three rounds right there is just brutality in its utter amazement, where you have Thomas the Hitman Hearns, who up to that point had been knocking people out just left and right, knocking out, you know, Roberto Duran. Nobody ever did what Hearns did to Duran by, you know, one punch knockout, literally, you know, within shockingly second round, knocking out guys like Jose Cuevas, Angel Espada, you know, fourth round, first round knockouts, you know, going up, you know, taking on Wilfredo Benitez, beating him for the light middleweight title, and defeating Maurice Sutherland, defeating Roberto Duran. So when he finally got to Marvin Hagler, he was just, you know, Hagler coming out in war. That's how he treated every fight. Like, it was just a battle. Like, you were trying to screw him personally. You were going to try to hurt him and his family, by instance. And so watching those three rounds of just pure, unadulterated violence, if you ever see it, if you can, you know, go on YouTube, go on any clips here and watch that fight, and it is just breathtaking, those three rounds. Because it was what Rocky movies are all about. We look at the Rocky movies and we go, oh, well, you know, that couldn't happen. No, that event ever happens in the ring. And it was just 3 minutes of a straight right hand to Hagler's chin. It was Hagler, you know, throwing his power, you know, his power hooks. It was, you know, Van Hagler getting cut above his head from an elbow or a headbutt. And as he's bleeding, he understands now, crap, he might steal this title or fight away from me. They might screw this up here. And he goes out. And an overhand right behind Hearns' ear. Hearns is basically wobbling, falls face first to the canvas, collapses into Anderson Steele's arms. It was, you know, as I said, you watched Hagler and you always thought he is a man who is fighting as if his life depends on every fight. You know, especially in Massachusetts where we never got great fighters. He was the guy we looked at when he was our guy. He was our guy. He might have been born in Philadelphia, but he was raised in Brockton, Massachusetts. He was a working class man. He was a guy who was loyal to Goody Petroselli, his brother. He was a man who basically came out there and just lunch pail style went to work. You know, didn't, you know, took on all comers. You know, didn't literally just back down from anybody. And when he lost to Sugar Ray Leonard, he basically said, I am done. I am done with this sport. I am not coming back. And he stuck to his word. And you got to respect the man for that. Many fighters have always said, oh, we're going to retire. I'm going to come back a year later or 6 months later or maybe even 2 years later. They just go, oh, you know, it didn't mean anything. Retirements are basically like penny candies. You know, everybody who has one, it doesn't mean much. Hagler basically retired. He said, I'm tired of waiting for Sugar Ray Leonard. I refuse to basically be held hostage by him. And he does what most athletes can't do. He has a second career. He ends up going into Hollywood acting over in Italy. He stars in... He becomes a star in Indio, in Indio 2. He did work for Fight Night, round 3. And so, as I said, when he passed away this time, and his second wife, Kay, an Italian, who he married in 2000, he lived in Milan for most of his life, but then he moved back home to Bartlett, New Hampshire. He was the first, you could say he was the first of the champions that Massachusetts recognizes in terms of individual champions. Yes, we had our Birds, we had our Magics, we had the Celtics, we had the Red Sox, but they were all outsiders in a lot of ways. They were born in a different state. They lived in a different state. Hagler was ours. He was just our guy. As I said, he was the working class man who found a way to break the seal, you know, take the glass, you know, the brass ring and end up becoming world champion. He changed his nickname to Marvelous so that he could become, you know, more recognizable. And he did by his way. And so, as I said, when with his passing, it's for me very heartbreaking in a lot of ways, because he was, for anybody who followed pro boxing, he was one of my first idols. He was one of my first heroes. He was just a guy who you went, no matter win, lose, or draw. And most of the time it was winning, but win or lose, he was going to give you everything he had and then some. And that's all you can ask for a fighter, but we got to wrap this up. Once again, my condolences to the family of Marvin Hagler. He leaves behind his wife, Kay. He leaves behind five children, Marvin Jr., Gentry, James, Celestine, Sherelle. As I said, he was simply marvelous in more ways than one. But we got to wrap this up. So once again, for my wonderful guests, for Alejandro Lara, for Max Griffin, this is Chris Connor saying I'm out of here. Stay tuned, vote for more great action only on It Is Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on the Blue Wire Hustle Network.